Hi, this is Jeff Brown, the Ball Guy. Today we're going to talk about a question I get asked all the time. Why wouldn't you just do tax-deferred exchanges into infinity? Jeff, why would I ever pay taxes on purpose? Well, I'm only going to narrowly address this in one sense. There's a school of thought that talks about swap till you drop. And they're the kind that, you know, they bought their first house for $9,500 back right after Moses' son died. And when they got raises and raises and raises at work, and a couple of kids later, they'd saved enough money to go buy a bigger house, but they kept their original for rental. And from then on, whenever they wanted to move up and get more property, they just did tax-deferred exchanges. And they can tell you all day at the neighborhood barbecue on Saturday or Sunday all the hundreds of thousands of dollars they've saved since the paleo days of cavemen, because they always used the 1031 tax-deferred exchange. Well, I understand that. But let's dig deeper. They started this sometimes before they were 30. But let's just take 30 until they're 65. You've got 3.5 decades of ups and downs of bubbles that didn't collapse into calamity, and then one that did. You had S&L crises. You had inflation in the 80s. You had all these different things. But overall, that $8,500 home they bought way back in the day, if it's in San Diego, even after the bubble, it's probably worth $3,500 to $500,000 today. But here's their problem. They might have ended up with $3 or $4 million in equity. They own property, maybe in different states. I'm in San Diego. I see this all the time. They have a ton of property free and clear. They did the swap to you drop routine. Here's where they are. Let's start with the good news. They have cash flow coming out of everywhere. They don't know what to do with all their cash flow. Oh, but wait a second. The IRS has an idea. Why don't you pay taxes on virtually all of it? And here's why. Every time they did a tax-deferred exchange, and they did a ton of them, because there were decades, the 70s and 80s are perfect examples, where in 5 or 6 year periods, they could have done 3 or 4. I know, because I've seen me do it. Okay? Here's the thing. By the time you get done doing that for 1 or 2 generations of your family, your adjusted cost basis is about 5 times more valuable than a McDonald's Happy Meal. That means if you wanted to sell any of your properties, you might as well just do it in front of the IRS building, because they are now your partner. None of it is going to be untaxable, virtually speaking, outside of the land value. It just got all taken. Your all depreciation has been bled from your portfolio. And every time you traded, that depreciable base was only increased by the increase in loan amount from the newly acquired properties in your trade compared to your older properties that you left behind. That's not nearly as much of an increase in depreciable basis than if you'd have just sold the old properties, maybe not paid as much taxes as you thought you might have, but now you've got a much bigger depreciable base. What am I talking about? Jeff, what's this depreciable base crud? Look, in terms of dollars, if you do a tax-deferred exchange, most of the time you're going to end up with less dollars of depreciation every year. That means you're sheltering less cash flow. And if you make $100,000 or less on your tax return, that means you're bringing less dollars to the write-off of your ordinary income to the table. So here's the thing. When they get to retirement, they might have $150,000 a year in income from cash flow. They don't have any deductions. AARP let us down on the grandkid deduction. Their kids are in their 30s and 40s, maybe older. And they are naked on April 15th. because of their swap till you drop school of thought. Now, if you've done that and you found yourself in that situation, you know you can't sell. You can refinance, but then you say, what do I do with my money? What you can do is, maybe you've got that $3 million. Borrow $1 million. Be conservative. That $1 million, in terms of discounted notes, will get you $10,000 or $12,000 a month in income. Now, your property, your $3 million in property, if you're using the Murphy spreadsheet, is probably giving you somewhere in the vicinity of, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars, maybe more, except for you own such old properties that your repair and maintenance and management and all that is very high. If you use Murphy's spreadsheet, you're just taking the gross scheduled income and dividing by two and are happy it's not less than that. So what I would tell you is borrow half, borrow 60, 70% if it makes sense and the interest rates are okay. Those notes are going to give you more income than your property, and you're still getting income from your property, just not as much. That way you've got not only that, but you're not counting on your net operating income increasing if inflation hits. Every time you have one of your notes pay off, you pay a little bit of capital gains taxes on the profit. That's only 15%. Then you take the profits plus the return of your capital. You buy more notes than you had before, and you get a raise while you're retired. That's how you can rescue yourself. But here's the takeaway I want you to really understand. It's not a sin to pay capital gains taxes on your property. Now, I've done over 200 tax-deferred exchanges in my career, and the only reason I say more than 200 is my dad shamed me one day at lunch because I was over 40 and still counting. But here's the deal. Tax-deferred exchanges are the last refuge. You only do it because the tax bill would just be onerous. If you can figure out a way to do it without the tax-deferred exchange, do it. You want to get it done that way. Man, I hope this helped you. This is Jeff Brown, the Bald Guy, and I'll see you next time out.